Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Shades of Entrepreneurship. This is your host, Mr. Gabriel Flores. In this episode, I wanted to highlight creativity. Now, let me start out by saying there are a lot of misconceptions about creativity, specifically that you, the listener, are not a creative person. I disagree. I think every person listening right now is creative beyond their own knowledge. In fact, there is a psychologist, Scott Barry Kaufman, that in 2014 did a study to determine where we, as humans, have our most creative moments. The findings? 72% of people globally get their best ideas in the shower. According to Kaufman, this is because a nice long shower frees your mind from critical thought and allows it to wander and roam free through new perspectives and necessary distractions, opening up your mind to new ideas. Kaufman was later quoted as saying, "A shower is quite literally a place of incubation, a change of scenery from the rest of your everyday lives that's relatively free of stimulation and distraction." In this episode, I interview a creator who found his shower, figuratively speaking, in coffee shops. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode. The Shades of Entrepreneurship, where we interview entrepreneurs to inspire the future entrepreneur. I'll be your host, Mr. Gabriel Flores. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Where he graduated in 2010 with a degree in telecommunication. He has been supporting Nike's North America brand marketing team for leagues, athletes, and grassroots in 2015. Please welcome the owner of the social media handle Coffee Feed, Giovanni Filari.
All right, Giovanni. I like that name. Man, that is nice. The owner of Coffee Feed. I'm really excited about this one because this is a very, very, very unique platform, what you're doing, and kind of the creation of it. But first, let's introduce the world. Who is Gio?
Who is Gio? Well, first of all, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I'm very glad to be here. So, yeah. So who is Gio? Gio is a guy from San Francisco, California, who grew up during the hyphy movement. I wanted the dreads and the gold ones. It did not come in for me, though. So I'm bald today. So I grew up in San Francisco, bounced around a lot. We used to live in Sicily when I was a kid. Used to live in San Antonio, Texas. Moved back to Berkeley, California. Then, for the most part, lived in San Francisco. Went to an all-boys private high school. Then moved on to Bowling Green State University. Played some football out there. Majored in telecommunications. You know, I was just a young guy trying to figure out my role in this world, you know, and then I just did a lot of moving, did a lot of traveling, and been in Portland since about 2015.
So you said you lived in Sicily.
Yeah. So my dad is Sicilian.
Wow. So how long did you live there?
Briefly, probably like a few months, maybe like a year or so.
Okay.
But it was so brief. I was speaking Italian. So.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's awesome.
I was bilingual for a little bit. Yeah. It's all gone now. So okay. Please don't ask me to say, hey, let's have this conversation in Italian.
That's good because I don't know Italian either.
So perfect. That makes two of us.
Well, you mentioned you actually went to Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I played 2 years of football in college. I'm sorry. 2 years of football in high school. And I really wanted to play football. I really wanted to go to the NFL. That was my dream. Football is my favorite sport in the world. But I broke my leg twice in high school.
Oof.
Yeah, it was my freshman year, my sophomore year. Broke it twice. So
Same leg.
It's actually my shin.
So, ouch. Yeah. That's a really hard bone to break.
It is.
It's like one of the hardest bones to break.
Twice. Yeah, so you bang your shin on a coffee table or like a ledge. Man. Think that hurts? Well, you try breaking it. It actually hurts pretty bad.
My leg just started hurting.
Every time it gets cold, it starts. Yep, it's still there. So I did break it twice, and I only played 2 years of high school football. So I was looking to go somewhere to where I can walk on. That's not like a powerhouse D1 school, because, you know, and they can get anybody that they want. So a friend of the family knew one of the coaches at Bowling Green State University. And I sent my film and they're like, hey, like he can come and, you know, be a preferred walk-on. He can, you know, join the team and then he'll be obviously a backup. He can try to earn a scholarship, you know, a little bit down the road. But we don't have any scholarships available, so have him calling out. So I left San Francisco in August of 2005 to move to Bowling Green, Ohio, which is about an hour south of Detroit. And I started going to school out there, playing football, and just trying to make it happen.
Yeah. So let's talk about Coffee Feet. I kind of want to talk about it, and then I want to talk about how the creation happened.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about first. Let's give the audience a little bit. What is Coffee Feet?
So Coffee Feet is a digital platform where I essentially focus on Portland coffee shops or just any local coffee shops in the current city that I'm in. So
okay.
I created it back in 2017, and I did it while I was actually unemployed. So I moved up here in Portland to take a contract at Nike as a social media specialist. And my contract finished, and I was like, okay, like, what do I do now? Like, do I still want to live here? Do I want to work here? Do I move back to San Francisco? Like, what do I do? I ended up wanting to stay up here, wanting to stay at Nike, but I had a lot of free time on my hands. I was applying for jobs. I was just trying to just figure it out. And I started figuring it out at coffee shops. So I was applying for jobs. I was, you know, fixing up my resume. I just needed to get out of the house at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It was just, you know what I mean? Like you kind of get in your head at that moment, yeah. Right? You're like, all right, like I'm qualified. Like I'm in my late 20s. So I have experience. Like I'm just struggling finding work. It was towards the end of 2016 where this was going on. So I'm like, all right, I can't get down on myself. So
right.
I needed to kind of keep myself busy. I was in a bunch of coffee shops. I was in Barista and Sister's Coffee. Those are the two coffee shops I was in the most. Okay. And I'm like, okay, like these are the coffee shops that I like. What else is out there? Like what other coffee shops are around? Is there an Instagram account or any social media account that kind of profiles them? There wasn't. So I'm like, oh, that'd be kind of cool if someone made that account. And I was like, well, I can do that. I have all the free time in the world now. So I created Coffee Feed initially just for coffee shop purposes, just taking pictures of coffee shops, like the interior, latte art, so on and so forth. But as I started going the first couple months, I kind of figured out that this would be a really good way to leverage social media to show marketing skills.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wanted to show that I can create digital assets. I wanted to show that I know how to do storytelling. I wanted to create a community. I wanted to do all those things that are like, you know, some basic marketing principles that allows people to have like some sort of affinity and pride towards Portland coffee shops that creates a cadence of having people coming and seeing what new shops are out there, coffee events and so on and so forth.
So you're almost kind of created like a digital resume.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It was a digital resume. That's exactly what it was. It was showing that I could do brand marketing things similar to what Nike was doing, just on a severely smaller scale. So that's all that was. And it was something that I 1,000,000% brought to my interview. Like
yeah.
I showed samples of it, how we can create a call to action from, hey, like going through digital, talking about an event. Like I remember we did a fundraiser for relief efforts from Puerto Rico. I think there's a hurricane out there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So me and a couple of friends of mine, Ian from Dead Stock Coffee, Erica from Cafe Arena, we hosted at her shop. We had a karaoke party. And
nice.
We raised funds and we raised like almost $1,000.
Wow. Wow. That's nice. Now, how do you... So... You did this, right? You created a new, how do you generate new ideas?
That's a great question. I think a lot of it comes down to, here's the thing. So it is so easy to like get in your head about these kind of things, yeah. Like anything creative or trying to be innovative, because you're like, nah, I can't do that. That's whack. Like, I think just paying attention to the trends that's going on, like, okay, like, for example, like, say TikTok, for example, right? So, like, I definitely at first was like, I am not hopping on TikTok. What am I doing now? I am on TikTok.
Wife is trying to get me on TikTok so bad. Yeah, like, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing these dances.
Corvette, like, all that. Like, I didn't do that. But what it is showing me, I think what it showed me is that very often, like, there are people who just do things because they like, they think it's a good idea and they like it. And I think I had to get to the point to where it doesn't have to be perfect to post. It doesn't have to be a perfect plan. It doesn't have to be anything that is like well thought out 100%. Mm-hmm. It just got to be something that I think is dope or something that's cool, whether it's, I don't know, like talking about latte art or talking about shops that are open. Like, I may not have the complete list of what shops are open on like Christmas or Thanksgiving, but you know, at least putting the majority of it out there so we get the conversation started.
Right. In fact, you know, I think it's important too for the folks at home to understand, like, let's talk about how big and kind of the draw, where is Coffee Feet at? And where did you, kind of looking back on it, where was that like pivotal moment where you're like, whoa, this is something.
So from where it started, how I didn't know anybody in the coffee industry. I didn't know any baristas. To like now, like almost like 8,000, 10,000 followers on the gram and decent amount on Twitter and TikTok. I think the moment where I saw things kind of turn was when I got invited to a Specialty Coffee Association expo that was usually $600-$700 for a ticket or like for a pass. And I got free media credentials for it.
Wow.
So that was probably like the first time that I was like, okay, cool. Like, let me submit Coffee Feed as a part of the media. And they're like, yeah, come on out. Just use this pass and then you'll be fine. It's free for the few days that you're here.
Wow.
And I was like, that's pretty dope. Cause I think that's like kind of like the start. And then the name recognition when I was around, they're like, oh yeah, I've seen you on the gram or I've seen you like on social media. You did some work with Sprudge, which is a media organization, a coffee media organization that I work with. Written a few articles about them and did some Instagram takeovers for them as well. So I think it was the moment where I was able to get media credentials for expo events and then also had the opportunity to monetize coffee knowledge.
Nice. Cause that's something you said you were a barista at first, correct? You've done
never worked in coffee.
None.
I've never worked in coffee.
So it was just your just, you know, affinity for going to these locations kind of, we created this like for it.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's take it back a little bit. So my dad, Sicilian man, moved to the States when he was like 20 something, loved his espresso at the mocha pot going right. He was like, Giovanni, make a couple of shots of espresso. Like that's what he do that like constantly. Right. So I'm like, all right. So I'm like 10, 11, 12 years old, you know, making his espresso so he can get his little double shot and then go on to work. I'd maybe make a little bit extra. Maybe I'll take a little sip. But it was very customary just in our family just for everyone to drink espresso, right? I mean, eventually, like, you know, as we got older, it's like, nah, it's not really my thing. Or like, no, I love espresso. So I never stopped liking coffee after that. I went to Starbucks all the time growing up. There was a Starbucks right next to my bus stop in high school. So I ended up... Okay, so let's go really deep.
Yeah, let's do it.
I had the hugest crush on a barista at Starbucks.
So the truth comes out.
The truth comes out. When did Gio like coffee? There's this one barista.
It always starts with the girl, man.
So like I would make espresso for my dad, and that was true. Like I would drink espresso as a kid and, you know, as a young teenager, but there's this one girl that worked at the Starbucks that was right next to my bus stop, and I liked her a lot. She was so cool. She was in college. You know, she went to the University of San Francisco, so it was like, which is like a block away from where we lived growing up, and then, you know, where the Starbucks was. And she was super nice and super friendly, and me just being completely naive, I'm like, oh, she just, you know, she likes me, right? Yeah, she likes me. She's super nice. She remembers my name. And she's like,
she wrote it on the cup.
She wrote my name on the cup. she yelled it out and smiled when my mocha frappuccino was ready. And I'm like, this is love.
She made it just how I like. Just oh, man.
How I liked it. This is love. All right, listen. But this is it. Like, I'm going to be in her for the rest of my life, right? I just didn't realize that's just great customer service and the building of a brand affinity on behalf of Starbucks. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I saw her on her off day in that Starbucks, and I'm like, oh, hey, what she's doing here? And she was like, cuddled up with her boyfriend.
I was
shook. My heart was broken.
But I still have the coffee.
And you know what? Like,
coffee ain't gonna break me like that.
No, coffee has never let me down. Never, never, never. Nah, but like, yeah, mocha frappuccinos didn't taste the same for a while.
That is amazing. So how did you then leverage Coffee Feed? Because you eventually, you're now at Nike.
Yes.
Right. So you re-landed a position at Nike. So how did you leverage, for the folks at home, I think this is a great learning point. How did you leverage that to get the job?
Great question. So my first stint at Nike was from June of 2015 to September 2016. And I learned a lot about social media stuff and just basic like digital things that Nike was doing. I was listening into marketing meetings and, you know, digital brand meetings and so on and so forth. I took what I knew at the moment and just kind of applied it to Coffee Feed and then vice versa. So I would also find learnings through Coffee Feed and then apply it to some of the things that I would see through social media when I would eventually get my second contract at Nike. So my second contract with Nike was still in consumer services from February 2017 until May of 2018. And I leveraged Coffee Feed to, first and foremost, just gain confidence in knowing what I'm doing, like growing something from the ground up and just having the opportunity to use a platform to storytell. That's really what we do a lot at Nike through the brand marketing side. So just recently working with the NFL and the Girls Flag Football Initiative, or working with Florida A&M University and LeBron James. Like, at the end of the day, it is still the concept of storytelling through a digital platform that the masses can easily digest.
Yeah.
So I was doing that just on a smaller scale through Coffee Feed. I was taking pictures. I was telling stories about baristas of color. Mm-hmm. I was telling stories about owners, just deep dives on these coffee shops that would essentially bridge the gap between people who are really into the coffee industry and then those who are really much into coffee at all.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment like when you started Coffee Feed and you're kind of going through that process of like self-doubt and like, man, I'm wasting my time. What am I doing?
All the time.
Really?
Literally. Like I have self-doubt constantly. Like, man, like I'm kind of stuck on this. It seems like I'm stuck at this follower count or whatever. Like, or I'm stuck. I feel like my grid is looking the same as it has for like the last 2 years, or I haven't had anything really original or pop off in like the last like 6 to 8 months. Like, there's a lot of self-doubt. Things move so fast, and social media can get really dangerous for a lot of people because it can make you believe that you're behind the curve. I think a lot of things on social media makes you feel that you are behind. You're behind the curve. Mm-hmm. Everyone's doing better than you. People are just really good at really showing the best side of themselves. So they're not really showing the downfalls. They're not showing the bad days. They're not showing, you know what I mean? Unless it's like something that they do. But social media can be a really dangerous place. So there's also like someone for myself that I'm like, you know, there's other coffee accounts that are blowing up, or there are like other people who are showing a different side of coffee shops that I may have not seen before. Like, and I doubt myself, not every day, but like there are some times where I'm like, man, like, what could I be doing?
Yeah. For the folks at home, cause I think this is bringing this important subject, you know, social media, and I think your expertise in it. Everybody thinks there's the golden ticket to, you know, fame, right? On social media. Is there a golden ticket to fame? How do I get the 100,000 followers? I want a million people listening to this podcast right now. How do I do it?
Yeah. So, the golden ticket is time and consistency. I mean, or just having an unlimited amount of resources of some sort, whether it's like money so you can buy followers, or I mean, like, unless it's like something like really niche, or if you have a very popular friend group or what have you. I think it's, I think what happens on social media is that we often see stories about people going viral. And then from there, they get the opportunity to have a larger platform, which is supported by larger companies. And it's not always like that. I think just from the Nike side, obviously we work a lot with athletes and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on making themselves in tip top shape. We work with, you know, organizations and clubs that, you know, that are large brands themselves. And I think that with social media, the draw is that people want to be instant stars.
Yeah.
They've seen examples of it, but at the end of the day, people are labeled viral stars for a reason, just because they kind of fizzle out and they don't maintain consistency for a long extended period of time.
Yeah. What advice would you have for those, you know, those young individuals or even older individuals that, you know, for better or worse, are looking for that clout, right? On the social media, what advice would you have for them?
Stay authentic, because I think with clout, people lose authenticity really quickly. So if it's, you know, someone doing random stuff on TikTok or people going above and beyond to put the best photo on the gram, like, I think authenticity goes a very long way. And I think when you think of clout, a lot of the time it goes hand in hand with a lack of authenticity, or it goes hand in hand with people just not really being true to themselves, or just not really just being, not just, you know what I mean? Like, not aligning themselves with society, I guess. Because at the end of the day, when people are chasing clout, they are chasing fame. They're chasing something that they don't have, and they're willing to do what they need to do to get themselves to that next step. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the kid from Joe Hebert, right? Like, he was chasing clout. Like, he wanted to be the best reseller in the world. So, you know, like, and you know that people just want to be famous, and they see it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, what would you say? Is it just as easy as somebody to kind of go, like, for example, starting Coffee Feed? Was it just as easy as literally going and starting a social media account and begin posting and that, you know, for the folks at home that maybe aren't familiar with social media, and you also mentioned one of the things you did to kind of help boost your you know, kind of brand was doing the media piece, right? What other avenues besides the social media could individuals at home think about to kind of help exploit that social media brand?
Repeat that question.
So think about, like, for example, you mentioned earlier that you did the media thing, right? So you basically put Coffee Feed as a media entity. Mm-hmm. Is there other things that you've done to kind of help grow Coffee Feed, kind of like other channels?
Yes. So just going out in person, for one, is something that I did, like actually meeting people in real life. Obviously COVID doesn't really give us the opportunity to do that at this moment, but going out in real life, did writing, worked back with non-traditional companies, I guess, like Portland Monthly, for example.
Oh, nice.
I had the opportunity to work with them and get featured in their article. I think aside from, like, primarily I do a lot of my stuff through social media, but at the end of the day, just going out and dapping up people at coffee shops and saying what's up, and just the word of mouth, like, and talking to like-minded people.
How important is your network when you're growing your brand?
It's pretty important, but it's also your network is also a reflection of you too. So I think a lot of people really don't understand that when they think like network, they're like, oh, your network is your net worth. Like, so it has to be like huge.
Right.
Like, I need to grow it as big and far as wide as I can. But at the end of the day, your network is a reflection of you. They say that you are the average of the five people you hang out with the most.
Yes. I've been talking about that on this podcast actually quite a bit.
Exactly. So, and it is very true. Mm-hmm. Like, who you run with and who you talk to all the time, you're gonna bounce things off each other. You're gonna feed off each other. You're gonna reflect each other's values and thoughts all the time.
Yeah.
So if your network is suspect, or if your network is inconsistent, then you have a high likelihood of being inconsistent as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. You know, it's the you know, kind of improving the averages, right? Or the average. And now what would you say is the kind of the hardest part about running? Cause you work full time.
Yeah.
Right. And now you have Coffee Feed, which is pretty successful now. Mm. What would you say is the difficulty of it?
The difficulty of it would be time management and getting in those moments where I don't feel like I have to do something or I feel like I have to do something. I think there's some times where I'm just tired, right?
Yeah,
like there are some projects that I'm landing full time at work. I may not be able to hit a coffee shop before they close. And sometimes I just don't want to leave the house, or sometimes I just don't feel like editing a photo. I don't feel like throwing up, you know, Adobe Lightroom and getting it done. But at the end of the day, I think just making sure that I create boundaries that allows me to rest, that allows me to get in a better mental health space. Because when I get anxious or when I get into a mode where I don't think I can do everything and I just don't do anything at that point, I just kind of sit there and just wallow around like, all right, what do I do next? I just have to remind myself that, you know, I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So looking back on everything, you know, taking it all the way back to Sicily.
Yeah.
What advice would you give a younger Gio?
I don't have to have all the answers figured out to continue to move forward. When I look back at my journey specifically from high school up until now, I think that a lot of people really feel like they have to get a job in the major that they want, that they majored in or they took classes in. I think they feel like they have to get a high five, you know, six figure job immediately out of college so they can start paying student loan debt so they can make their time in college worth it. I think people feel like they have to love their job immediately. I think people feel like they have to get a job that they can settle in for years and, you know, get the family with the white picket fence and all that stuff. I went to a random school that wasn't even my radar in my junior year in high school. I walked onto a football team. I spent 5 years at college. I majored in telecommunications and I did radio, but I didn't do anything telecommunications related after I graduated college. I got into sales. I was doing 100% commission sales for 4 years after I graduated college because that's all I could get when I was done. I didn't have the time to intern as much because I was playing college football and that required a lot of our time, and it was in Bowling Green, Ohio. There wasn't really anything for us to really intern at, and digital internships weren't really a thing back then. So I graduated from college. I take a job. I kind of just settle into it because this is like, all right, well, this is my life now. I was learning the difference between being a collegiate athlete and just being thrust into the real world. And I had no idea what I was doing. And I just knew that I was severely unhappy with my job and I wasn't making as much money because I was working 100% commission sales. So I think a lot of people think they have to like know everything and like just be on point. But for me, it took me hitting like rock bottom and hating everything for it to really crystallize what I wanted to do. So from there, I quit sales jobs and I just moved back home and I was like, all right, let me start coaching or something so I can, you know, just get back to football, mainly sports, but like mainly just helping people. And then from there, I applied for a Nike job and didn't hear back from them until 4 months later. And they're like, yo, you applied for this job. it's taken up, but there's another job that might be ready for that you might be a better fit for. So let's chat. And I moved up 6 weeks later.
Nice. So looking back, you're just like.
Looking back, it was. The journey was worth it. But yeah. I just think that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to always have the answers and to always like tell ourselves that we're happy with our current situation. Once I recognized that I wasn't happy with my current situation and I wasn't like trying to like please other people.
Yeah.
It started to turn around.
Would you do it again? Would you do it all again?
To do what I'm doing now? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would.
I got to ask you, man, what's the best coffee?
The best coffee. Can I give you like a top five?
Can we do top five? Okay. I don't want you to get in trouble.
Yeah. Top five. So Deadstock Coffee, La Perlita, Good Coffee, Barista. That's my number five right now. This is interchangeable, by the way.
Okay, yeah.
So, let's see. That's not a good priest. I'm going to go push-pull coffee.
Push-pull. Yeah. There you go. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, there's the top five. Gio said it. Top five. So, Gio, let the folks know at home, how can they kind of get in contact with Coffee Feed? Where can they find it at? Where can they follow you?
I think follow me at _ Coffee Feed on Instagram, Coffee Feed PDX on Twitter, and just Coffee Feed on TikTok. Also, hit me up on LinkedIn if you have any Nike questions or just any coffee questions at Giovanni Filari. And then GIFILLA2 is my personal IG.
Nice. Gio Filari from Sicily. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Shades of Entrepreneurship. For more information, please follow The Shades of E on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or visit theshadesofe.com.